Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And I'm Brian Wilson, filling in today as guest host is our good friend Tony Schaefer. Good morning, Tony.
Morning. Good to be here. Thank you, Brian.
And joining us now on the line is our friend Alex Bolton, staff writer with The Hill. We wanted to get him in on to talk about what's going on Capitol Hill with the Trump confirmation battles. But specifically, I think we want to start with the Supreme Court nomination of Judge Gorsuch yesterday. We now have Gorsuch as the nominee. The process has begun on Capitol. Alex, tell us how it's going and what his prospects are as it looks today.
Well, I think his prospects are pretty good. He met with one Democrat yesterday, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, and Manchin said he had a favorable impression of Gorsuch after the meeting. He said that he was a nice guy and seemed competent. And so Manchin, while he's not ruling out supporting a filibuster of Gorsuch, he says that he's not going to filibuster for filibustering the sake of filibustering. So he seems favorably inclined, and Rex Tillerson, President Trump's nominee to head the Supreme Court, I'm sorry, to head the State Department, he got 4 Democratic votes yesterday. So I think
that bodes well that there might be another 4 there for the Supreme Court nominee. But I want to focus on whether or not you think it's going to be one of these things that requires 60 votes. In other words, can the Democrats cobble together 40 votes or 41 votes that would keep this thing from going forward and require, you know, a big fight on the floor?
It will require 60 votes. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, is very clear that that is the threshold Democrats will insist on. And Jeff Merkley, one of the most liberal members of the Senate, he's from Oregon, he has already said he is going to filibuster Gorsuch because Republicans kept the Scalia seat open for so long last year and wouldn't give a hearing to Merrick Garland. So 60 votes will be the threshold, but will Democrats actually block Gorsuch and require Republicans to use the so-called nuclear option? I don't think that's going to happen. As the Manchin meeting yesterday indicated, I think some centrist Democrats are going to vote for him. He has a very good record, educational pedigree, and experience on the appellate court.
Some have suggested that they might want to hold on to that fight, you know, a real serious fight for the next nominee that might come along.
So if the Democrats filibuster Gorsuch and block him indefinitely, just as Republicans indefinitely blocked Merrick Garland last year, then that's when there's going to be pressure on Mitch McConnell to change the rules and strip the minority power of the ability to filibuster Supreme Court nominees. The thinking is the Democrats don't want to do this now because this is the Antonin Scalia seat. Scalia, of course, was a conservative. Gorsuch is a conservative. It won't really change the balance of the power on the court. So the question is, do Democrats want to risk the filibuster power? Do they want to risk a rules change over something that's not going to change the balance of power? It's better for them to play their best card when there's another vacancy. Let's say Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires, as some people think she might because she's pretty old. That would be the time that you would want to roll the dice and risk that kind of confrontation.
I think because she's 83, we found out yesterday. Yeah. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, hey, Alex, still staying along the lines of justice and that sort of thing. One, you know, this thing with Jeff Sessions, Senator Sessions, has been very contentious. He's finally cleared committee along a party line vote. When do we expect now? What I guess two questions for you. What do we expect next on this issue, and when can we expect a full floor vote on his confirmation?
Well, that's going to come next week. The Republicans don't want to confirm Sessions until they've had a vote on Betsy DeVos and the Trump's pick to head the Education Department. And yesterday there was a significant development.
Yeah, there was.
Right.
Two Republicans came out, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins of Maine, two moderates saying that they were going to vote against DeVos. They were concerned about her background on education policy, that she might be too favorable towards charter schools, not favorable enough towards public schools. And so with those two Republicans voting against her, they can't afford to lose another vote. So the thinking is that if you wait on Sessions, that gives you the extra vote you need, and Mike Pence can break a 50-50 tie to confirm DeVos.
Well, what is it on this plagiarism excuse?
Is there anything to that?
Yeah, is there anything to that, or is that just an excuse?
You know, the Republicans say it's a manufactured issue. I mean, you know, her responses on the questionnaire included language that appeared to be lifted from other sources. But, you know, in all likelihood, that was put together by one of her handlers, one of her staff, and that's kind of the way Washington works.
Correct.
So just because there's, you know, language that echoes, you know, what people in the Obama administration said about education, I don't think that necessarily would be fatal in other cases. I think what the real issue here is that the teachers' unions are really upset about her background,
right,
and her policy views.
So basically they're trying to bribe senators to do something what may not be in the best interest of the American public.
Well, you know, I think what we're seeing here is that some Republicans are pretty partial to public education as well. I mean, a number of the senators I've spoken to noted that, you know, that they went to public schools.
Yeah.
You know, they have teachers, you know, who are their constituents, and they're attuned to their concerns.
Well, yes, and that's a fair way. That's the way it works in Washington, you know. But I'm sort of curious. I've heard that there may be a test vote to find out exactly where support stands on DeVos, because if you can't lose any more votes, because if you lose any more votes, then even having the vice president come in would not solve the problem, right?
Well, I think there's going to be a cloture vote, basically a vote to end the filibuster of DeVos. That's either going to be today or tomorrow, and then the final confirmation vote would probably happen next week, because I think that Republicans are looking to get out of town, and I don't think the Democrats are going to give back any time. So that cloture vote, that vote on the filibuster, the procedural vote, and of course the threshold's been lowered from 60 to a simple majority, that would be the test vote. But, you know, Dean Heller, he's the moderate Republican or more centrist Republican who's up for re-election in 2018. He's going to back her, so it looks like she is going to make it through.
Very quickly, there was also this thing that happened in committee where the committees changed the rules to push through Tom Price and Mnuchin in Treasury. That was an unusual action, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, what was unusual is that the Democrats boycotted the meeting 2 days in a row.
Right.
So you need at least one member of the Democratic Party at this meeting so you have a quorum. They used this procedural trick, not showing up, hoping that could delay those nominees. It did, but the Republicans aren't going to let that delay go on forever, so they just changed the rules. There were no Democrats to object, so by unanimous consent, they changed the rules.
And
there
so those go to the floor as well.
Yes.
And does that rule stay in place now going forward?
Yeah, I mean, on the Finance Committee, yes.
There you go.
That's the new rule.
That worked out well for the Democrats, didn't it?
All opposed say what?
Well, anyway, listen, David, Alex, I really appreciate you joining us here this morning to give us the lay of the land up on Capitol Hill. These confirmation battles are very interesting, and the poor administration has had a tough time getting some of these people through in a timely fashion, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes forward, but things are slowly but surely moving. Alex, we appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.